Mayor Connie.
Hi, I'm Tai Hao Lu, Chairperson of the Utah Acupuncture Licensing Board, and I'd like to call this meeting of the Utah Licensing Utah Acupuncture Licensing Board to order. It is now 9:16 a.m. on December 6, 2016. The meeting is being held in room 475 of the Heber M. Wells Building in Salt Lake City, Utah. In compliance with the Utah Open Meeting Laws, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety. This recording is classified as public record. The following members are in attendance: Tai Hao Lu, Chairperson Mallory Clausen, Conor Weber, and Chris Justinson. The following board members are absent: Reagan Archibald. The following individuals in the representing DAPO and the Department of Commerce are in attendance: Larry Marks, Bureau Manager, and Lisa Martin, Board Secretary, and
Kevin McDonough from the AG's office.
And Kevin McDonough from the AG's office. We welcome all visitors and interested persons at this time. Please be sure to sign in the attendance report for the meeting and identify yourself before speaking. As a courtesy to everyone participating in this meeting, at this time we ask for all cell phones, pagers, and other electronic devices to be turned off or changed to silent mode. Board motions and votes will be recorded in a minute. Now let us proceed with the agenda. Hello? Hey, Reagan. Hold on, let me put you on the speakerphone. Hold on. Okay, you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Put you in the middle of the table there. So.
Okay. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
All right, and to correct the checklist, Reagan Archibald is present.
So, more or less.
Yeah, more or less. Okay, so let's proceed with the agenda. We'll read and approve the minutes for October 4, 2016 from the last board meeting. Did everyone have a chance to kind of look it over and any concerns or questions you have with the minutes? Yes.
I'm just wondering if the first item is that going to be answered today.
The insurance one.
Mm-hmm.
I think I did follow up with Larry in an email about it, and as far as we know, that there hasn't been any
insurance people that have
gotten
responded.
That. Yeah, so we can't really do much about it.
I mean, that means we're not going to do anything about it.
Well, we are. We will not today. We won't be able to do anything about it today with the insurance commission because we haven't heard back from them.
May I ask? Did you ask the Attorney General office about it? It just says here, Mr. Mark states the request may be outside of the commission scope. However, we will ask the Attorney General.
I submitted a memorandum to the AG's office requesting an opinion.
And have
we? No, we haven't.
That's been 3 months.
You have
a separate issue,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2 months. Yeah, it's a billing issue, but I'm not sure DAPO has any control over the billing. That's between insurance companies and providers.
Because I'm certainly not in the loop on that one.
Yeah, I don't think Mark's gone through it yet.
Okay.
you want us to break you what it is?
What it is that just basically that that physical therapists are being paid for doing acupuncture under a different name, and we don't know what billing code they're using.
Okay.
The acupuncturists are not being paid.
Yeah.
So that we'd like to know if there's anything that we can do so that we can be paid, so that we can retain our clients.
Okay. And I don't even know if I would be assigned to that or not. The way that it works is it goes to Larry, will take it up to Mark Steinagle, and then Steinagle goes to our division director, Che Arguello, and then Arguello assigns it out. And there's a good chance that I would be assigned it, but I appreciate what you're saying. I kind of know where you're going, but unless or until I have marching orders, so to speak, then I don't know that a full-blown discussion right now would be a great benefit.
No,
but
I was just wondering if it had been followed up.
To my knowledge, I haven't seen anything. I mean, I don't know if anybody else in the office is.
Any other? I know you have concerns.
Well, I'm looking on page 2 where it says that Mr. Archibald states that he's now listed in the Affordable Care Act, and I do remember him saying that. However, for clarity, dry needling is not listed in the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah.
So that's, I think I know what he was trying to say, but that is not an accurate statement.
So we just need to clarify that dry needling is not part of the Affordable Care Act.
Right. Well, dry needling, And
how are they going to do it? And what?
You know, I don't know how best to handle that, but it is.
I don't know.
There is no recognized code for dry needling for insurance billing. Dry needling is not listed in the Affordable Care Act anywhere.
So we just need to make that clarification.
Make sure that that's not there so that it looks like it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything, any other questions or concerns with the minutes?
Can I ask Reagan a question? Reagan?
Reagan. You there?
Can you guys hear me?
No. Now, yes.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, super patchy. Did someone, I heard my name.
Reagan, you said that, did you, at the last meeting, you made a comment that dry needling was in the Affordable Care Act, but it appears not to be. Do you have
I did not make a comment that dry needling is in the Affordable Care Act. The comment that I made, which was, I don't know how, it just was one sentence, because I made the comment that the Affordable Care Act allows acupuncture to be billable if we have proper training, and that's something we've been talking about by insurance companies for a long time. Some say it can only be administered by an MD, for example, and the Affordable Care Act has a section in there, 27, I can't remember what it is, 2701, but it basically protects us to bill acupuncture as acupuncture under the Affordable Care Act, and they can't discriminate against our life insurance. We have proper state regulatory boards and certification process. I wasn't referring to dry needling at all in there.
Okay, we've got it clarified. Thank you.
For clarity, that is 2706 of the Affordable Care Act.
2706,
not
the Affordable
Care Act. 2706, thank you. Yeah, I think that's another section in the Affordable Care Act where we look at it and say, well, physical therapists do not have proper training, nor life insurers, and so the Affordable Care Act actually boxes them out of being able to bill acupuncture until they can get proper training and certification.
Yep. Thank you very much, Reagan. That's good.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying. Sorry, can't be there in person.
For clarifying that. Hey, anything else?
Page 4, it says Nick Weber voted in favor of the motion. However, it also has me as absent.
You're here.
So I either need to be here and vote or not be here and not vote. Either way, you choose.
So we had to correct that.
Thank you.
She was present.
I would have voted had I been here. Thank you.
Anything else?
So somebody has down here on the R-5156-72-302A regarding the California Acupuncture License Exam has circled replacement or crossed it off.
And put addition to.
Just so that, so that's for all of us, and that is what we are approving.
That's what we're looking at.
We can make a motion to accept the minutes with the revisions as discussed.
Okay. Make a motion to approve the minutes with the revisions that we discussed.
I'll second that.
Okay. Everyone, let's vote for the motion to approve. Everyone say aye.
Aye.
Reagan, do you approve the minutes?
I think I approved the minutes. Sorry, I'm on mute, so it takes me a minute. But yes, I approved them.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Great. So the minutes have been approved. With the revision discussed. Okay. So next on our agenda is the rule. Rule 156-72-102. I'll have a paper copy of it really quick.
Yeah, there is one. They've given to each one of us.
I got the...
The law and the rule
falls. Oh, is it
all
in there?
Yep.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just the act.
What page?
So the rule, 156-72-102-1. As of right now, it says administration as used in subsection 5872-102-4B-II means the direct application of an herb, homeopathic, or supplement by ingestion, topical, inhalation, or acupuncture injection therapy AIG to the body of a patient. Administration does not include venous injections, immunizations, legend drugs, and controlled substances. Controlled substance means a drug or a substance that's defined in subsection, I guess that's number two. But, so number one is what we want to discuss, and we would like to discuss on revising that rule. And there's been discussion about removing or the legend drugs of that rule. So do you want to talk more about that, Natalie?
Well, can we get, it says in number three, legend drug means a prescription drug as defined in section 58, 117B-102, 32, and 64. So let's get that definition as, so we know what exactly we're discussing.
Okay. We'll have to look, reference. We'll have to look it up.
I'm not sure, but I think it's any substance that's FDA regulated or controlled, and careful with the word control, I understand that, but
Well, there's FDA oversight, which are different.
And we're not worried about the controlled part, but the legend drug was actually pushed through against our wishes.
I'm aware of that. I was at that meeting, but I just want, when we're discussing this, to have it perfectly clear what got put in against our wishes.
What the exact... That subsection is.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a pretty broad. I mean, even sterile saline is considered a legend drug. Anything injectable.
Anything
it's not like
anything
prescriptive.
Yeah.
Okay, so our concern is that by putting in legend drug, it counteracts the rule number one of administration of homeopathics, because the injectable homeopathics are then
legend drugs. Yeah.
So it contradicts what we're given in the statute and how it's defined in rule by having all legend drugs put there. So we can't do what we're licensed, you know, what the Licensing Act has given us permission to do by having legend drug in there. We can't procure what we need to do the injection with in an acupuncture injection.
So in the Pharmacy Act, that's what it's referring, that subsection. 5870-17B-102-32 says legend drug has the same meaning as a prescription drug. And then in 64, as it says here, prescription drug means a drug that is required by federal or state law or rule to be dispensed only by prescription or is restricted to administration only by practitioners.
Oh, so it doesn't require a prescription, it can be administered.
Yeah, because it says or is restricted to administration by practitioners.
Would you read that one more time, please?
So a prescription drug means a drug that is required by federal or state law or rule to be dispensed only by prescription or is restricted to administration only by practitioners.
Okay.
However, practitioner has to be able to obtain it.
Yes.
And we are having trouble obtaining the homeopathics because of prescription.
So you don't have prescriptive rights.
Right.
Correct. Okay.
Yeah, because of the rights. So.
But the administration part is good because that opens that back up.
Yeah, because in here it says restricted to administration only by practitioner.
So we're actually contradicting twice our statute.
Yeah.
So by statute, we have the ability to procure and administer.
Yeah.
And so the rule is.
The rule we
is inappropriate.
We gotta, we got to, because
it's conflicting.
Conflicted.
Yeah, that's not good.
So
I move that we amend Rule 156-72-102 in Part 1 by eliminating legend drug in the last sentence, and number 3, legend drug definition, that I move that we eliminate that from our rule. That was not the intention.
Yeah.
Was not to limit us to obtaining what we need in given to us in rule, the rule itself.
Yeah.
I second that.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
We make a motion that we eliminate legend drugs in the Rule 156-72-102, Part 1 and Part 3. You eliminate that part.
So we're eliminating number 3 entirely and just the term,
and
legend drugs. And number 1.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, can we make a vote?
Yes.
Okay, everyone say aye.
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 Okay.
The vote to eliminate legend drugs and that Rule 1 and also Section 3 has been passed. So.
Okay. Great. May I ask a question?
Yeah.
So, the agenda mentions subsection 1 and subsection 4, but not subsection 3. Is there any consideration? Is that an issue at all? I guess this is more kind of directed toward Larry or anybody.
Yes.
I think to the extent that 1 references 3, it's implicit. I mean, 1, it mentions legend drug, and then subsection 3 is really a clarification of what is referred to in subsection 1. So I don't see any inconsistency there.
Okay, thank you.
So why is 4?
4 was, so this is just a follow-up with the... At our last meeting, we amended the rule on that and added more clarity to, like, the myofascial trigger point therapy and all that. And the wording, and Larry, you said that it was reviewed or?
Well, I emailed you the letter that I sent to Mark in the last paragraph on the first page. States the acupuncture board passed a motion during the October 4th, 2016 meeting requesting the division seek an opinion from the Attorney General inquiring if the Acupuncture Licensing Practice Act rule can be amended in subsection R156-72-102 definitions 4 to include language that further defines the practice of acupuncture to include myofascial trigger point therapy, intramuscular therapy, proprioceptive stimulation, Oshi points, and dry needling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm waiting for that opinion back.
Okay.
Because as I've mentioned before, the division cannot make rules that are not within the Practice Act and within the statute. We have to look at all of the statutes to make sure that we're congruent with any laws.
And we do all of those already?
Well, it's just why, you know, I don't know if there's a benefit to increasing beyond what the Practice Act says, which it keeps things open. I mean, if there's something new that comes up, you don't have to add it to a list, but that's, you know, that's your choice. And I'll, as soon as I get the opinion back, I'll do as the opinion wants me.
All right. So basically, we're just waiting on the opinion for that to kind of go through. Okay. Wait on that.
And that encompasses the entirety of what you and Dave and I are going to meet on the 10th? Okay. So, and I don't know, Dave, have you spoken with the board members about, you know, the meeting that we've got?
No, I thought that would just be us offline.
Right, but I mean, I wanted to make sure that everybody was in the loop and knew what we were doing. I know that it was the way that I understood it, it was just going to be yourself, Kate, Larry, myself, perhaps Mark Steinagel, and maybe another individual or two. But I just wanted to clarify what we wanted to do is fully vet all of these issues so that before a legal and informal legal opinion is rendered on these issues, that everybody understands exactly what we're talking about so that I'm not looking at apples when what you really wanted was oranges. I want to have the issue precisely framed. And the soonest that we can get together amongst ourselves and vet this will be right after the first of the year. So I understand it's not, and I know that sooner is much better than later, but insofar as the time-sensitive nature of it, I understand that it, you know, it didn't have to happen yesterday or something, and I'm in a little bit of a crunch. I'm taking off a couple of weeks in December, and so I was going to, I can't do it. I was going to be a grandpa for the first time. So anyway, I just wanted to let everybody know that, you know, don't expect anything tomorrow, but I am going to meet with Dave and Kate, and he's obviously got your best interest at heart, and fully vet the issue to make sure that I'm rendering an opinion as to precisely what it is you're looking for.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
that's good.
Sorry, go ahead. Wanted to make sure, have we heard any other little cute coined terms that they've come up with? Because they keep coming up with new terminology.
I haven't, personally, but I don't know if anyone else.
I will check with the national group and make sure that there is not something new that's popped up. If there is, I'll shoot it off to all of you.
Okay.
So this is about is this about the second piece on the agenda, number four, that we're talking about?
Yeah.
Is that
right.
What the meeting is about?
I've got to excuse myself. I've got another meeting at 9:45.
I just don't know what he was.
I think they're going to talk about encompassing everything.
Since he wanted to clarify it to the board, I just don't know what encompassing everything means. I'd like it further clarify what he's wanting us to know what this meeting is about. That's all. Do we know?
I think they're just wanting to make sure the intramuscular.
I took it to mean everything
in there, but
you just read.
That is not.
Are there other issues besides that? That's all I'm asking.
I think that's it. I think they're just trying to make sure that we're not broadening our scope with that. All we're doing is.
Okay. I just wondered if that's what he was referring to that the meeting was about.
Think so. I don't know.
And I just wondered if it was also. I mean, he's gone now. I was wondering if also it was including the Attorney General's opinion that wasn't what we actually wanted the Attorney General to give an opinion on, if that was being included.
Well, I think after the first opinion, when it wasn't actually the question we wanted, I think that's why he stated that he wanted to make sure that he understood we're pulling from the same tree, so to speak.
Yeah, so he understands everything, what we're looking at and what we want to. So I think that's what.
Okay. Chris, you called me and asked that we wait until we could talk so that you would further define what you're actually looking for.
Yes, there were.
So this could be a good time to further define what it is you're actually looking for.
Mostly I wanted to make sure that whatever went to him, we had eyes on first to make sure that it was concise and, you know, what we were looking for.
He sent him the request. Yeah, I think he sent to everyone. Did you receive the letter?
I think I got what you said. Let's see. Oh, no, I didn't get this.
Did you send it via email?
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem with my my folder sorting mechanism. It may have come to me, but never gotten into the right folder because I haven't seen it either. So
I will look for it.
I will look and make sure that Jim or Ingen from you get into the correct folder.
I'm wondering if we, since so we don't have to keep revisiting this, if we can put some language that states and other similar
therapy
modality, yeah, so that we don't have to come here every time they add a, they come up with a new word.
A new word.
And I think that's what the Practice Act currently does, number 4A and B. It leaves it open to oriental medical diagnosis and
modern research
as a primary mode of therapy. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying is that rather than trying to be inclusive of all things, this keeps it open to what, you know, is involved in oriental medicine and modern research for the practice of acupuncture.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important to have dry needling in there, though, just because...
All of them.
All of them in there.
Because you have an insurance...
Yeah, I was going to say because of insurance, for insurance purposes, it's important that our rule at least state what the other people are going to try to get insurances to pay for it. If we don't have that rule, we may be boxed out of it.
Right.
I mean, in writing. It's true, but people don't... I mean, people really think dry needling separate than acupuncture. The public thinks that the insurance companies probably think it.
Yeah.
So they need to know that it's acupuncture,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I agree
with that totally.
I agree.
Yeah.
So we're not trying to limit ourselves with that, but we're just trying to...
And we're not trying to broaden either. We're just trying to clarify.
Just clarify with all the different terminology. I don't know if
we need a rule around that?
I just think it's important, Larry, that you just know that we'd like to have that in there.
I've asked for the opinion on what I can include in the rule
without
trying to expand the statute, which I don't have the authority to do.
I know, but I just don't think deferring to the fact that we've already have it is where we'd like to go if we do have the authority or if you have the authority to have it in the world, we'd like to get there.
And since we're being specific, which apparently we need to be, second paragraph, again, we did not specifically ask for Chinese herbs in the first paragraph also.
Which was what?
On the letter. We asked for herbs, period, because herbs come from all over. And a lot of the Chinese herbs are grown right here in America. So removing Chinese herbs would be appropriate.
Okay. And just, you mean removing Chinese?
Yeah, just Chinese.
Yeah, just having herbs as part of when we submitted things.
Can we keep the word traditional? Because there's different traditions that I think that all the herbs were using.
What's traditional?
Before Chinese.
Procure the traditional Chinese. Just
traditional procurement of herbs and homeopathic substances, not traditional Chinese herbs.
So get rid of traditional?
Well, I'm asking other opinions on whether we want traditional.
That's a pretty broad term if you think about traditional.
I think if we just say procure
herbs
and homeopathic substances,
yeah,
I think
yeah,
that would be
yeah,
the best thing to do.
Yeah,
yeah,
that sounds right.
Are you still there, Reagan?
Yes, I'm right here.
Are you hearing us?
Yes, and I think if we're adding herbs and homeopathic substances, then we need to, of course, go down the road of nutritional supplements, proteomorphogens, et cetera, et cetera.
I think that's a little broader than we're looking at right now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that is broader than what we're looking at. Might be a little broad than what we're talking about right now.
It says supplement by, it uses the word supplement, which I think covers, what did you say, PMG stuff?
Okay, cool. Yeah, if we feel like we're covered, I mean, you know, our overall goal is just to make sure that we are not excluding ourselves from, you know, therapies that we are trained on and that are very effective and useful and yeah, it's hard to know right now how the terminology is going to be 10 years from now, so I agree with Larry in saying, let's make it as broad as we can so that, you know, and I agree with all of you, so we don't have to keep coming back and hashing out the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, then...
so do we put in...
Yeah,
other
similar natural substances.
Yeah, other similar natural substances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I call your attention to the Practice Act, which says practice of acupuncture means the insertion of acupuncture needles and application of moxibustion to specific areas of the body based on traditional oriental medical diagnosis, modern research. Adjunctive therapies within the scope of practice may include, that's permissive, it may include manual, mechanical, thermal, electrical, light, electromagnetic, based on the traditional oriental medical diagnosis. And it states in II, the recommendation, administration, or provision of dietary guidelines, herbs, supplements, homeopathics, and therapeutic exercise based on traditional oriental medical diagnosis and modern research. So I think some of what you're asking is already covered in the Practice Act, and it's very plain in the Practice Act.
We don't want to limit ourselves. But in the Practice Act, dietary guidelines, herbs, supplements,
right,
that pretty much covers all of those things. Homeopathics. Therapeutic exercise. So.
Yeah, you want to try to strike a balance between ensuring that you can do what you do without locking yourself into anything or asking for more than what you can do.
Yeah.
And in regards to insurance, I would also call your attention to the Practice Act under Part 6, 58, 672, 601,
yeah,
acupuncture license not authorizing medical practice. Insurance payments. Nothing in this chapter may be construed to permit the practice of medicine, nor require direct payment from third-party insurers directly to a person engaged in the practice of acupuncture.
Yeah.
And what that's saying is that we can't, by rule or by law, require this. It's going to be an issue between you and insurance companies,
yeah,
based upon, you know, and what drives insurance companies is what the consumer is wanting. So it may be something of a public concept and public relations. You know, people need to be educated so that they know.
For the record, we have attempted to remove that several times.
Yeah. Yeah.
And actually have had votes where it was removed.
Larry, what is that citation again?
5872601. 5872601. And amended in 2007. Yeah, we actually, it was voted on to have it removed. The insurance industry put it back in, apparently,
right,
according to Scott, what was his last name? McCoy. Because when I saw that in there after we ran that bill, he went back and looked and had to, you know, do some research, and he said they put it back in after, apparently they can't do that anymore, but back then they could. And in addition to that, the section that we talked about earlier with Reagan and that discussion on the Affordable Care Act, the non-discriminatory language 2706 actually prohibits them from discriminating against this.
During this. Yeah,
yeah, so this... Yeah. Is, you know, outdated or whatever.
Well, basically, we try to change the statute on that.
Yeah,
we
that
tried.
Again.
Well, we did. We did try.
We
and
did.
And it
removed. Appeared that it was changed.
Yeah.
But it's
but then it
got
changed.
Not back in.
Yeah. Okay.
So we do realize that it is a you know, a thing at this point between the education of the public. Nonetheless, people are miseducating the public about the difference between acupuncture and driving lines. So that's the only issue that we have with needing to have that in our rule.
Yeah, I would say only issue. I'd say that's one of probably
one
several
of the
insurance
problems.
Company is,
yeah,
is another
okay.
issue. So.
But the miseducation,
yeah,
of the insurance company,
yeah,
is the
miseducation,
well.
Absolutely.
And as you know, the dry needling is included in the rule currently.
Yes.
Yes.
The intramuscular and the proprioceptic,
yeah,
the, all of that stuff. There are things that they can say are different that we can't do that they can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's
why
what the problem is.
In the
that's, yeah, where I'm right. And that's where I'm
putting. But I just wanted to explain why we're limiting ourselves to a certain degree by having another group without that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we're trying to do something that it seems isn't necessary, but I think it is for that reason.
Okay. Any other discussion on that, or do we need, I don't know if we need to do anything else on it.
Do we need to do anything? Do we need to do a rule or anything on that?
Well,
list?
I think we need to see what the AG's office comes up
what
with.
We
I mean,
come up with.
And the association and the board, is when they have opportunities, you know, you need to continue to lobby maybe for change at the Insurance Act, part of the Act. That's something that the division has no standing,
yeah,
in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it okay?
Uh huh.
Sure.
Okay, so we go on to the next one.
Yeah.
Patient safety. We're going to talk about the patient safety. So with acupuncture injection therapy. Part of the patient safety is to have the epinephrine and the oxygen on hand for patient safety. And so we wanted to discuss and see what we can do about having those substances on hand.
Yeah, I think any
elaborate more on that.
Substance that we might administer, whether it's injection or topical or whatever, because we do administer more than just that.
Yeah.
I just attended a conference in Colorado, and apparently the state of Colorado requires oxygen and epinephrine in every healthcare provider's office that uses any type of administration, and it's a state law across the board. I don't know that people that are not using or administering any type of substance would need to abide by that here, but I think those who are, for example, doing injections or administering other substances need to have access to that.
It is not unheard of that that people pass out sometimes from needles. Even people who are not administering injections, it might be of help to have, oxygen.
And it is a patient safety issue. We're kind of,
we're trained to work with it, but it would be a security blanket.
It would have
That available. But how does that work? Is that against anything in our?
Don't ask that question.
Somebody will find a reason why you can't use oxygen because you're not a respiratory therapist.
Yeah, there you go.
Well,
it is considered a drug.
Make sure that it's not.
It is.
It is. In the hospital study, actually, it's considered a drug.
There we go.
And okay. Is it a legend drug or is it an epinephrine?
Actually, you do have to have an order to place oxygen on a patient. Absolutely.
Yeah, you have to have a prescription.
Well, it's not a true legend drug. It is you have to have an order and a prescription.
You have to have orders.
Yep. Some kind of order, then not necessarily a prescription.
Yeah, like leader flow and is it a cannula? Is it a mask? Is it bypass? What is it? So.
Yeah.
Good question. Actually.
So. Yeah. Okay. So how do we go about,
Sounds like we need a rule.
We need to set a rule in place.
Wait, a rule? A rule for being able to do this? Is that going to allow us to be able to do it?
Well, and I think the bigger question is how do you get O2 into your office? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As a provider, can you pick up the phone and call Praxair and say, I want a tank of oxygen?
Yeah.
It's even bigger. How do you get it if you choose that you want it in your office? So.
Would there be a restriction or pushback on that?
I don't know. That was the first thing that came to my mind is how do you procure it for your office?
Okay. Well, I would suspect that if it's in our license act as a rule and a public safety means that we should be able to procure it.
Makes sense to me.
Because that's in statute that we can procure substances.
Okay.
For administration.
There you go.
So we should be able to do that. And
what about epinephrine?
Epinephrine falls under the Prescription Drug Act under the.
Is it a legend drug or is it a controlled substance?
It's not controlled,
but
it is a prescription.
Yeah, it's a prescriptive drug, so I'm not sure if you can obtain that.
Yeah.
I think the opinion that the Attorney General wrote was that epinephrine was one of those things controlled by the FDA. And that's why we asked for the opinion on if you amend the Practice Act to allow those, would that be within the law? Or would it be ruled as not being within federal law?
So
part of that letter.
Okay. Then maybe what we need to do is get a rule on the books today regarding oxygen while we investigate epinephrine and maybe some other things that we'll be discussing down the road, but I think we need to at least have access.
Okay, at least oxygen.
Yeah.
So we can put a rule together.
I think what we use, it would be rare that we'd need epinephrine, but there's always that
allergic reaction or something.
Yeah. Oxygen would at least buy time if there was an office emergency to get help.
Clarifying question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Would that be for all acupuncture, or specifically if you're applying substances or using those extra substances?
If you need it.
Mm-hmm. But just that if you are establishing a rule, is that something that would then mean every acupuncture would have to have oxygen?
No.
I don't know that we're saying that everybody has to. I think we're saying that, you know, it should be available to those who...
It's available to those
who... Available to access if you want.
To access if you want.
So,
so how do we want to...
I just want to wait.
Oh, go ahead.
So we have in this rule, I just want to say, inhalation. Do we have to say oxygen?
Technically, oxygen does not fit the medical term inhalation, but I see where you're going with that. But I was actually thinking the same thing. Is there a reason that we couldn't add it under this, under number one, administration? Just add oxygen in there.
So if I got administration and then have the, as in subsection, it means the direct application of herb, homeopathic, or ingestion, publication, and then just put oxygen, inhalation,
yeah.
Oxygen.
Yeah, I think that would
like
work
that.
Well.
Instead
yeah.
of a new, do you
want to have a whole new rule, an amended
yeah,
rule?
Yeah, just add it right in through there. That makes sense. So
yeah.
Because the wording's already there.
Yeah,
we
it
have
is.
To think of some specific
right.
wording
right.
and...
I think if you just add O2 in there, just like you phrased it, just before the inhalation and
yeah, topical oxygen.
I think that's a good
inhalation.
Idea.
Good job, Natalie.
Just
yeah, that's a good.
So
yeah,
we're not
good.
Saying oxygen inhalation. We're just saying oxygen
comma,
comma
inhalation.
Oxygen
comma,
comma
okay,
inhalation.
Yeah.
Okay. Because we don't want to force people.
Yeah. Inhale. Sorry. Deep breathe, deep. Sorry.
I know you
nurses are always saying that.
I just want to ask a question. So it's my understanding that acupuncturists don't have prescription authority. Is that
correct?
Is that correct? And so if oxygen is available only by order of someone who has prescriptive authority, and if the board were to go ahead and make a motion to amend the regulations adding oxygen here, what would kind of be the sequence of events here? I guess maybe for Larry, I assume as with other boards, the acupuncture board is advisory to DOPPA, is that right? And so,
yeah.
So the motions form a recommendation, and then that's reviewed by you,
yeah.
And Mark, and so on.
We would have to determine if it's lawful for them to obtain oxygen. And I'm not certain. I know there's different medical practices that use, you can go in after a night of drinking and get some oxygen and get some B12 and that, but that is done by nurses and physicians. So I don't know what the legal authority of what oxygen I never even thought about.
That was my concern. How do you procure it?
I didn't know if it was
a good question on that.
I think that, you know, in statute 5872.102.4B(ii), recommendation, administration, or provision of dietary guidelines, herbs, supplements, homeopathics. Herbs are prescriptive. Homeopathics are prescriptive. Supplements was intended to include vitamins, minerals. They handed it back to Doppel to fill in what supplements meant, and it would be the natural types of things. So oxygen actually would fit in there, and that is in the statute.
So which ones that's were you saying are prescriptive herbs? You said are prescriptive. You said herbs.
Well, they would be. They're considered legend drugs, so they're not actually prescriptive. Well, they are, but they're not.
Well, what my question is I just missed
everybody.
You said
reading.
Herbs. Well, I was just trying to follow. So you're saying herbs and certain other things are prescriptive.
Well, injectable herbs we have been informed by the AG, which is prescriptive.
Supplements. B12 is prescriptive.
Yeah, any of the vitamins, minerals, whatever, would be legend drugs, technically. Homeopathics, sterile water, you know. Anything that can be injected would be, from what I understand, considered a legend drug. And since we have these already in statute, that's why we're getting rid of legend drugs, because it contradicts this that is in statute. So oxygen would be kind of along the lines of herbs, homeopathics, supplements.
I think we definitely make that argument.
I think we'll probably, I mean, we definitely have to figure out if we can procure
it. Well, we have things right now that we can't procure.
Yeah.
I mean, in there. But maybe we will be able to procure
I think we've got to figure out is, you know, if you're able, if we, there's usually orders for oxygen, like what you're saying and stuff, and so is that the prescriptive authority, or is that just
patient safety? Because it's the right thing to do, and they have an AED machine everywhere we go. Why can't we have oxygen?
That's what I'm trying to.
I think that's good.
How do we procure oxygen?
Well, Praxair is one of the biggest providers. But that's why their name came to mind. But there's a ton of oxygen companies around town.
Yeah, Alpar Engine.
I do.
Okay.
So there's a lot of oxygen companies.
Yeah, there are tons. And I'm sure there's a way to do this. I just don't know how. That's why I posed the question.
So I want to ask, is it wise to put the rule in?
Before we know if we can even,
I mean, my gosh, we've drugged this on for months and months and months.
But we got to figure out if we have the authority to say, oh, we can just order oxygen.
We're not prescribing it for a patient. We're ordering it for
oxygen. For your oxygen.
Well, that's the question, though. Do we still have that authority to order oxygen? Because usually when you order oxygen, you need to. Either the physician's office to send the order. It's like the lab.
It's very specific. It's true, and you have to have
that
certain
order.
Yeah, you have. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I don't know how that works.
Well, can we do a thing where? I mean, we right now have in rule, and I don't know if it will change when we. Amend this rule to get out legend drugs gone. We have in rule things that we have not been able and in statute that we're not able to obtain.
And it was because of that silly rule about
legend drugs.
Yeah.
So all right, so we get rid of legend drug, will that then give us the ability to get oxygen? We don't know.
I don't know.
But we already
think oxygen is oxygen considered a drug, a legend drug.
It's considered a drug.
It's considered a drug
In the medical world. I can't
in
speak
the medical
for
world. Yeah.
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 But is it in the statute is oxygen considered a legend drug?
I think anything is a legend drug if it's.
Yeah.
I don't know, because you've got a good point. You can go anywhere. I mean, how do these companies get it that you go in for your, you know, nightly party and tank up on your O2 the next day? How do they get their oxygen?
Yeah. Spas and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
How do they do it?
Yeah. And it may be that they're under a physician license to some extent, and that's how they get the O2 and their B12. I don't know. And I can certainly call around and ask. I mean, I can call the O2 companies and start asking the question.
So do we still put the rule in? And then
well, it would be nice to have it in place. And
have it in place
every
already.
Month,
yeah.
Because then we can approve it.
Yeah, and then we can approve it. Just kind of get the ball rolling.
Because
okay.
Otherwise we keep just dragging the same old.
I think we should put it in.
It's not
going
to hurt
in.
To have it as a rule.
Yeah, I don't think it will hurt.
Okay. It just might open the door for people that want it to be able to get it more quickly.
Why don't you?
I'm sorry.
I'm just suggesting that you
I'd be happy to. Oh, I stand up. I make a motion that we place a rule for having O2 for patient safety in the acupuncturist office. Is that?
Yeah.
Are you one of those stated?
Are we going to say that we're going to just add it to number one there?
Yes.
Yeah, so we'll put topical, comma, oxygen, comma,
inhalation,
perfect. Comma, or acupuncture therapy, injection therapy to the body of the patient.
Sounds good.
I second it. Thank you.
Do we want it after inhalation? Because that almost, to me, sounds a little bit confusing.
Do you want to do topical, comma, inhalation, comma, oxygen,
acupoint,
comma,
injection therapy, comma, oxygen?
There?
Okay.
Do you want it after AIT?
Just at the end.
At the end of everything. Yeah, after the end of everything.
Either
at the end or the end.
Yeah.
So
we can put it
before
herb homeopathic,
so that's after AIT. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. So let's vote.
Now I second that.
Okay. Let's have a vote. Everyone say aye.
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 Reagan?
Aye.
All right. So aye. That has been voted, passed, and unanimously for oxygen to be added to that rule. Let's continue to our agenda, education, and internship hours.
Ms. Kirkland wanted to address the board regarding that.
Okay.
In a letter.
You want to address the board about that?
Certainly.
You can come on up.
You can come on and sit down.
Hi, I'm Laura Berglund, and you guys have all had a chance to read through the letter. So my hope is that is fairly self-explanatory within itself. But we're just seeking to receive clarification from DOPL and the board in terms of the regulation of supervision of internships for acupuncture students. There seems to be generally fairly vague descriptions in the regulations as they stand, and so we just wanted to clarify what is meant by, who would be able to supervise the students, what sort of schools would be approved, and then what sort of training the schools would be offering would be approved. So we're hoping to create a bright line rule that would establish that the primary requirement for all of these factors is that the students would be attending a school whose students are allowed to sit for the NCCAOM board. That seems to be the primary regulation of most of the profession and whether or not you're able to obtain a license, and that's how it's stated. Or it's not specifically stated within the regulation, but we're hoping to create a bright line rule so that that can be the interpretation of it, and would allow greater ease in the future for other students who might be interested in doing their internships here in Utah. Particularly because there are no schools here in Utah, it would perhaps aid in the clarity and ease to which people coming from other states would be able to practice their internships here and then hopefully to practice acupuncture.
What, may I ask a question? What do you mean by bright line rule?
So just in terms of, it looks as though the regulations would imply this, that NCCAOM standing is kind of the primary regulation, but it doesn't say specifically for supervision of internships. But we're just trying to say this seems to be the most reasonable thing and is in alignment already with the way that the regulations are already worded. So instead of having to create an additional rule, it's just saying we're taking this interpretation of the rule that would allow for this.
Well, as I was reading this, so we this is just my experience. So NCCOM, they have a formal education and apprenticeship route. And we've actually had the same question. I've had interns that have graduated from school but needed more clinical hours, and they've come, and NCCOM has given granted the practitioners to be preceptors, at which, as a preceptor, the practitioners have to apply with NCCOM to become a preceptor. And then NCCOM says, okay, then you can have this student or intern to follow you to do clinical practice. And then there are certain guidelines, like they have to do reports and clinical case studies and everything like that. But the only thing that is a little different is that that's when someone doesn't go to school, or they've already don't go to a formal school, or they've already graduated, and someone
or they come from China
and their clinical hours don't fit NCCOM, you know, and so that's where that is. When you're already with an ACOM accredited school, and then, you know, all of that will help prepare you to sit for the NCCOM. I don't know how that will work with, because like when we go to school, all the clinical hours and everything was right there, everything. And the teachers had specific requirements, and you had to do like reports and everything every clinical time, and the teachers, the supervisors have to, you know. So I was thinking about this, thinking, well, I think it would have to be on the discretion of how all the schools feel too, you know, like, I don't know.
Our hope is to follow those standards, which the schools are already doing, not to go at outside of those at all, but to follow the standards which the school has established, which is then allowing the students to sit for the board. And that there would be nothing outside of that. The supervisors would all meet the requirements of the specific school in accordance with ACOM and the NCCAOM.
Yeah.
And so the supervisors would be trained in the same way that other supervisors for the school in another state would be trained. The internship would look very, very similar, if not the same, just in a different place. So all of that would and still be regulated by the school, and thus by ACOM,
right,
that has approved the school and thus allows them to sit for NCCAOM.
I think it would have to be like with each school, because every school will have different requirements within their clinical. Some schools have more clinical, some schools have a little bit less, or some schools have more like case study discussions and all that type of stuff.
But what she's
reports,
saying is,
so,
is that if it's ACOM approved,
then it should be fit.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Right.
And
yeah,
so
that's what she's saying.
Each state does seem to have different requirements, but they tend to uphold the national requirements, you know, outside of California and those other few handfuls of states. But Utah specifically is going by the national board as the primary means of regulation.
Yeah.
And so by establishing what we're calling a bright line rule, we're hoping that if you're going by these regulations that are already in place and recognizing those, then you won't have to look at each individual school, assess their curriculum, assess the supervisors. I mean, it would just create a lot of work potentially for each individual student at each individual school.
Yeah, and that's what we did with the interns or apprentices.
Mm-hmm.
Is I think the discussion before we had was if it's NCCOM and the preceptor approves it, we already have it. It's easy to have it.
Easy to take care of that.
So this would almost go along with the discussion of the CALI.
Yes.
And perhaps should be put in that same category of discussion rather than trying to have two different.
Yeah, and that's the other in the statute where it says other or other documentation.
As long as it meets the minimum
at
of NCCOM.
It meets
and
the
California
minimum,
supersedes NCCOM. So I would say let's wait till we get an opinion on the CALI and then look at it more realistic or more intense.
Well, the umbrella policy or the umbrella statute for DOPL is referenced under 5872.304, which provides exemptions from licensure as set forth in the Umbrella Act 581307. And this is mentioned in the letter. And basically that allows people to practice a licensed profession if they're supervised by qualified faculty, staff, or designee. The thing it does require is that that recognized school by approved by the division. And then it goes on. So, and then the next one, C, it states an individual is engaged in an internship, residency, preceptorship, postceptorship, fellowship, apprentice, or on-the-job training approved by the division while under the supervision of qualified individuals. So I think that there is it's pretty straightforward in the statute as you interpreted
it. That's what the discussion with before we had an apprentice. It was actually our apprentice in my clinic, and we've had a couple of them, but that's what we talked about. And with just as long as the preceptor is NCCLM qualified instructor, you know, and so.
So how does that, then why are we jumping hoops to look at the California exam where that is clearly higher in standards than the NCCLM? It seems like we're jumping hoops for that, yet we're saying this is a wash through. It seems like they should.
Well, they still have to have passed the NCC exam to be licensed. But this gives them an opportunity to
I get that.
Train.
I get that. But the California exam is much, it's a more extensive exam than the NCCLM.
Chris, I don't see why they have to be tied together because this is already what already exists.
Right.
And it's not going to
limit. But they're going
limit.
To. They're
We're not a California exam person isn't going to want to intern if we license
So is this just intern or is this the alternate route? Because if this is the alternate route.
No, this is just internship. So following the pathway that's established in our
internship.
Fall under these regulations.
So I don't see why they, I mean, I think we should just keep it separate. Issue because, I mean, I think the California one is important, but I don't think it has to be approved before we approve it. You know,
it seems that they might be separate issues. But
they seem pretty close to me. But because they're both an alternate route.
No, but this is an alternate route that is already established, and. It's just whether they can do their internship.
Yeah, it's just
I would argue it's not
it's
an alternate route.
Right.
It's just that there, it would be within a school. It's just that there are no schools here in Utah.
It's just like the apprenticeship route within the
Yeah.
Because we accepted the apprenticeship route within CCLF. And and so as long as the supervisor, but with them, they're already with an ACLM approved school.
Right.
They just want to be able to do their clinicals here.
Right. So, so that's what I'm saying. California is also a
true. And so, like, someone from California can actually can come here and do that. If they lived here or something, they can come here and do clinicals if they wanted to, go back and take the Cali if they're going to school in California and stuff. So that's what I. So I mean that's similar too, in that sense. So, but what the Cali we would like to, and that's what we've been discussing. Not only have it the NCCLM, but if someone also passed if they pass the Cali exam to be able to. Get a license here.
Right, and then they just have to follow the same rules
that they
keep
just
their
follow
license
the rules,
up and do the continuing ed, whether it's through California exam or through NCCLM.
And in the end, they're going to be taking the NCCLM exam, and so that's what they're proposing. But we could do the same thing with the Cali.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is what, you know, it seems like we're kind of jumping through more hoops with Cali.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't think we need to. But
can I ask you something about Larry? In your letter, you don't mention that the Cali exam is of a higher standard.
I thought I did.
It says the board.
More hours.
Oh, up here.
And it turns out it's well over 3,000 hours when I spoke with them. And
I just read the book.
The real issue, though, is what the word "for" means in the statute. What, you know, what says in the statute in regards to that is demonstrates meet the requirements for current active certification under the guidelines NCCAOM is demonstrated through a current certificate or other appropriate documentation. The issue is really what that those last four words refers to. Does it mean a current certificate or another document from them, you know, a test score, some other document from NCCAOM, which is, you know, a possible interpretation. So, you know, that may preclude the CALI based upon the wording in the statute. But to your point, I think Utah law, both the Umbrella Act and the Acupuncture Act, allow what you're trying to do. Yeah. The only thing would be if either the practice plan or the institution need to be approved by the division.
Yeah.
Which if they're, you know, they've gone through that. It's just a matter of, you know, just a letter to the division and approval.
Okay, so just demonstrating that they have already gone through the steps.
That they meet the criteria under the NCCAOM.
So
that being a recognized institution.
Okay. So there wouldn't need to be any sort of amendment to the regulations and the wording.
No.
It's just that going through with implementing it at our specific clinic or within wherever clinics they're going to be doing, they would just have to offer the letter as proof.
So. Yeah, the Umbrella Act is inclusive enough to, makes...
What is that Umbrella Act? Where are you looking at?
58-1-307.
Yeah, there've been, there's several practitioners that they just like in my example, my apprentice, she went to school, graduated after 4 years, and then she lapsed her time in taking the NCCOM, and so NCCOM told her she needed more critical hours, and so I had to become a preceptor through NCCOM for her to be here to do clinical hours, and then give her case studies, and she had to write up stuff and all that. So, but and when we discussed that before, and that was the same thing as under the Umbrella Act. So, as long as the ACAOM and NCCOM are on board. Anything else?
Can I answer your question?
So what is this? I'm a little confused that you say some or all of their clinical internship, but that's not in placement of school training.
No,
it's just clinical internship.
The 500 hours that are required as part of it, that you could do a portion of it here, but all of the other school requirements would still be met. In my case, I travel to Portland for school, and so I get that there and then come back here and work at a clinic, and then we'll also do my internship there. So there is no reduction to the requirements, just trying to do them in a different place.
Okay. Anything else? Anything else that we have discussion about or questions or anything?
I move we adjourn.
Yeah, I move to adjourn the meeting. It is now. What time is it? 10:35 a.m. and this meeting is adjourned.